Ryan pulled a weapon and strode forward. To the bugs, the intense EM fields of the comps had to be like jolt to an addict. Rushing to the door, the companions prepared their blasters and threw open the portal. In the control room, a dozen of the hairy millipedes were crawling over the control banks, several of them partially inside the delicate machinery. Aiming the Sig Sauer, Ryan paused in frustration. Nuke shit, they were caught again. If they missed one of the bugs, the blaster fire might destroy the controls. A millipede hissed at their arrival and started forward with surprising speed. Ryan holstered his 9mm blaster and pulled his Panga.
Blades only.
No, wait. I have a better idea. Just keep those things off me for a minute.
Christy dropped her pack and rummaged inside. Jack jerked his arm, and the handle of a knife appeared in the forehead of the onrushing mutie. It reared in pain, and Doc slashed out with his sword, ending its life. But the noise attracted other millipedes, and now several headed their way, crawling along the floors and walls. Standing in triumph, Christy yanked the cap off a road flare and scraped the top of the waxy tube. As the flare sputtered into life, she thrust it at a nearby millipede, and the furry body caught on fire. Keening in agony, the insect hastily backed away from the sizzling, popping flare. Sporting a grin, JB unearthed another flare from his munitions bag, as did the rest of the companions. In a concentrated effort, they herded the cringing insects into the far corner, where they stomped the muties flat, gore splattering the walls and consoles. A few of the muties scurried out the open doorway, the set controls no longer functioning, but that was okay. Once the control room was clear, Dean manually shut the door, and Jack rammed another knife into the jam to hold it shut. Then Ryan grabbed a chair and stuck it underneath the handle.
That won't hold them off for long.
Christie's flare sputtered and died. The air reeked from the fumes of the road flares, yellow drops of the excess burned material crusting the dirty floor. Ryan tossed away his flares and went out.
We only need a little bit of time. Watch the air vents.
Think we can fix the controls to do a jump? Hit the reboot switch, maybe?
Before the question could be answered, there was a rustling noise in the ceiling, and the companions turned to fire at the exact same moment. Shot to pieces, the ceiling panels burst apart, and a bleeding millipede dropped to the floor. Putting the tip of his blaster to its featureless face, Ryan fired the Sig Sauer once, the slug blowing out its other end, and the mutie went completely still. Good. They were learning how to efficiently chill the triple damn things, but at a tremendous expenditure of priceless ammo. Jack went to the main console in the control room.
Maybe fix self.
It should have done that already.
Ryan checked the hole in the ceiling for any further movements. No more muties were in sight, but he wasn't taking anything for granted.
Looks like we have to go out the front door, past all of the muties upstairs.
The bugs don't seem to like fire, so we should make some torches. But that means searching in the darkness for something to use as a staff. Broom handles, mops, table legs, anything like that would do.
Check. We can cut up our spare clothing for the swaddle, or get some sheets from the base laundry. But we don't have anything to grease the rags.
Grease in garage. Bugs, too.
Cooking grease will do. Or machine lubricant from the reactor in the basement.
Easier to scrape some off the elevator cables. Sounds good. We can do this.
Suddenly, there was a series of loud clicks, and the emergency lights crashed on, filling the control room with a harsh white light. JB smiled.
Well, son of a bitch.
Farewell the necessity of crude torches.
Doc frowned as the light then noticeably lessened.
Oh, by Godfrey, they are weakening already. We must be swift to play Prometheus and light the darkness.
Just then, the door shook as something hit it from the other side. The companions trained their weapons in that direction, but withheld firing.
We better hit the kitchen first. Find some water glasses or jars to put our candles in, so the flames don't blow out if we have to move fast.
Dean fought to keep a touch of nervousness from his voice.
Any idea how long the air will hold out?
Mildred placed a reassuring hand on his shoulder. Even though a veteran of the Deathlands, he was still only 12 years old, and it was normal for the boy to be this worried.
About 2 days.
And after that?
Well, we'll start getting headaches from the accumulation of carbon monoxide, unable to sleep but always tired. Then we fall asleep and never wake up.
We sleep, bugs eat.
Indubitably, my succinct friend.
A bead of sweat trickled down JB's face.
Shitty way to go. Although, it ain't really a good way either.
We'll use the implug rinse if it comes to that. Take the dirty little muties to hell with us. But we can always open the blast doors in the garage to bring in fresh air.
But without power...
Dean stopped himself, remembering that the bases were designed to operate after a nuke war and were built to open without hard current. There were stored power cells inside the walls, and even jacks for the nuke batteries of WAGs to get wired up to power the hydraulic system that opened the main exit. Worst case, there was a hand crank, but that was harder than pushing a tank uphill with your bare hands. Hopefully, the wall unit still worked.
Sure wish the APC was intact. Be nice to just climb in and blast our way out.
With a start, Ryan perked up at the mention of the armored personnel carrier. That just might work. As dangerous as kicking a nuke, though, but then what wasn't these days?
I know that look, Ryan. Okay, what's the plan?
Yeah, I got one, but you aren't gonna like it.
As Ryan explained his idea, the faces of the companions grew tense, but then hopeful.
It'll be a hell of a gamble.
The door shook once more, and something raced overhead across the ceiling.
But I think it might work.
Okay, forget the kitchen. We hit the offices first.
JB opened his munitions bag and pulled out the lone stick of dynamite. It was old and wrapped in sticky electrical tape to retard sweating pure nitro, but it was the only explosive they had aside from the Grens, and they were just too damn powerful.
Better switch to candles. Can't be swapping grips when these lighters get too hot.
Following the sage advice, the companions were soon ready. Kicking the chair away from the door, Ryan took the lead into the heart of the infested redoubt, one hand holding a candle, the other his blaster. The hallway was clear, but every open doorway was passed as if it were the muzzle of a loaded cannon. Reaching the stairs, the companions went past the deactivated elevator and went carefully up the stairs. Millipedes were found scurrying along the walls or sitting on the ceiling. To conserve ammo, the muties weren't harmed unless they attacked first. But each fight seemed to attract more of the creatures, constantly slowing their progress. To reach the office of the commanding officer of the base, the companions passed close to the armory and briefly paused, trying to decide if they should look inside. But the emergency lights were starting to seriously dim by that time, and they had to move onward. Seconds counted now, before they were fighting in the darkness at the mercy of the deadly insects.
Ready? Go!
Ryan awkwardly opened the sagging door to the garage. Cutting loose, the companions opened fire on the scurrying millipedes, blasting a tight path through the living carpet. Reaching the wrecked vehicles, the friends hastily climbed on top and jumped from hood to hood so the insects couldn't bite them from underneath the WAGs. However, the noise from the millipedes quickly grew in volume as more and more of them poured into the garage at the arrival of the companions. Placing his shots carefully, Ryan felt his heart pound at the sight, even though it was exactly what they wanted. Attracted by the mag fields of the base, once they were inside, the things found virtually nothing to eat and were slowly concentrating their attention on the only food available, the humans. Situated high in the corners, the emergency lights were beginning to turn yellow at this point, and as the companions jumped to the roof of the APC, a bulb started to flicker. It was horribly obvious that the lights were dying faster than expected.
Left side!
The companions concentrated their blasters there to clear a section of the floor free of the bugs. Jumping down, Dean placed a coffee can on the floor, a tiny nubbin of primer cord sizzling on top as a fuse. Kicking a bug off his boot, the boy grabbed the hands of his friends and climbed hastily back up out of reach of the chittering muties.
Okay, right side!
Ryan shot a millipede off the bare concrete ceiling above them. Now, Christy did the same thing, while Jack used a broom to shove the third charge underneath the armored vehicle. As they scrambled back on top of the war wag, Mildred put the last charge on a flat section of the armored roof, the burning fuse less than an inch long. Ryan chilled two smaller bugs charging across the rooftops of a nearby Hummer.
Get inside! Move!
JB used his shotgun to clear off the rear hatch, and the companions jumped to the floor and threw open the double doors with their blasters firing. The single small millipede sitting on the floor was torn to pieces, and the companions piled inside the steel box, kicking the twitching body out before slamming the hatch shut and locking it tight.
Seal the rest of the hatches!
Ryan checked the gunner's hatch in the ceiling and found it already bolted tight.
Hot pipe! There's no lock on this one!
The driver's hatch trembled slightly, and a millipede appeared at the crack, snapping its pinchers. Twisting the head of his ebony sword stick, Doc withdrew a thin sword of Spanish steel and plunged it through the face of the bug. The bug withdrew. Yanking off his belt, Dean looped it through the handle of the hatch and pulled the hatch tight. Removing her gun belt, Mildred fed it through Dean's and managed to stretch the leather just far enough to reach a stanchion and anchor it securely. The makeshift pulley would hold, but not against an onslaught of the determined bugs, or for very long. Christy already had two candles lit and placed on empty machine gun mounts to fill the gutted war wag with vital illumination. From outside the APC, she could see that the flickering of the emergency lights was getting worse. Then one array suddenly began to strobe wildly and died outright, casting the section of the garage into darkness. Gaia, they were cutting this close. JB tightened the latch on the belly door.
We're secure.
Okay, start cutting.
Ryan holstered his blaster and drew his Panga. Whipping out their knives, everybody played a candle flame over the blade for a precious second, then nicked a finger and started smearing blood around the louvered air vents and small blaster ports of the vehicle. Even though they knew it was risky to stick their fingers outside, they spread their blood around as far as possible. But at the first imagined touch of a mutie, they yanked the endangered hands back and dabbed the blood merely around the ports. The chittering soon became a muted roar, and the APC actually shook slightly from the arrival of countless dozens of the muties. The smell of blood was driving the millipedes crazy, and within moments every air vent and blaster port was alive with pinchers and slimy tongues reaching for the food.
Wait for it!
The tapping of the pinchers grew until it sounded like rain on a tin roof. Watching the second hand move on his wrist cron, the one-eyed man waited until the 60-second mark.
Now!
Covering their ears, the companions opened their mouths to equalize the pressure and try to save their hearing when the entire world seemed to erupt. The APC rocked violently from side to side from the concussions of the explosions as the dynamite charges in the coffee cans detonated slightly out of sequence. The blasts punched through the air vents like invisible fists, knocking the companions about. Stilettos of flame stabbed through the air vents and blaster ports. The wheelless APC was shoved sideways and brutally slammed into another vehicle, then flipped over sideways, tumbling the companions together into a heap and extinguishing the candles. In the smoky blackness of the APC, nothing moved, aside from the slow drip of blood.